That was the hymn book of Israel. And I can only imagine, as the psalmist was writing, if he even could imagine that that psalm would sound that good. Thank you, Elder. Thank you, choir, for, man, blessing us in that way. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. I pray now that everything that is done and everything that is said will be pleasing in your sight. May you be glorified. May your people be edified. May the devil be horrified and terrified as a life-changing, life-giving word of God goes forth. Forgive us, God, of our sins of thought, word, and deed, those things that were done overtly, covertly, and inadvertently, that nothing would hinder your word from going forth and from being received, but not just being received, from being lived. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are many people in the world who don't have fame, who don't have fortune, who don't have fans or fanfare. There are many people who don't have a lot of cars, cash, commodities, clothes, or creature comforts. But there's one thing that I know everybody has, and that's an opinion. One of the greatest ways to get somebody to talk is just ask them their opinion about something and then just sit back and listen. And there are certain places, boy, you know you're going to hear some opinions, right? One of the reasons I dread my current hairstyle is that I don't get a chance to go to the barbershop and just sit there and listen to brothers share their opinion. Those of you who go to beauty shops, I'm sure I've never been, but I'm sure there's some talking going on up in there. And women are sharing their opinions. Everybody has an opinion, whether it's about career or education or family or fashion, friends, lifestyle, marriage, who to marry, who not to marry, how to get unmarried. I mean, everybody got an opinion, right? Music, relationships, parenting. But there's two controversial areas that most people try to stay away from when you're talking about opinions. One is politics. Kind of stay away from that, especially in this day and time, because folk are getting killed over political opinions. And now it's gotten so bad that people in the same party don't even like each other anymore. Second area that you see a lot of opinions that people have, but they're not necessarily shared in public, is religion. People don't talk a lot about religion. Like, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe. And even in this day and time when people are much more accepting of other people's beliefs and ideas, there's one area in religion that always tends to bring with it a level of consternation. Jesus. Like, you all right if you're talking about God? Talk about Allah, talk about the man upstairs, talk about Buddhism and Confucians and all that. But when you talk about Jesus, man, something happens. And people have opinions about Jesus. Some people think that Jesus was simply a historical figure. They don't argue about the historicity of the person of Jesus. They know he was a man from Nazareth. History says he was born in Bethlehem. But they don't see him as any more than a figure in a book, a man from the past, a religious symbol. They acknowledge his existence, but they deny his relevance. Some say he's just a good man. They admire his morals. They think he's a wonderful teacher, but they won't surrender to his lordship. They respect him, but they don't revere him. And they reduce him to human goodness instead of recognizing divine greatness. Some people say he was a great teacher. Love his sayings. Love thy neighbor as yourself and turn the other cheek. But here's the problem. They love the wisdom, but they reject his authority. They want his lessons, but they don't want his leadership. And then there's some people that just say, He was a prophet. He was a man of God. But he wasn't the prophet. He is not the only one. He is one of many. Everyone has an opinion. And in our text today, Jesus does something that I believe is appropriate for all of us to look at today. Jesus asks a question, but he's not asking for our opinion as much as he is demanding a confession. Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? But the real question that Jesus gets to is not, who do people say that I am? His concern is, who do you say that he is? See, here's what I've come to understand. When you answer that question correctly, who do you say Jesus is, that determines your direction in life. When you answer that question, it shapes your identity, it defines your eternity, and it determines your destiny. You can't become a great person for a great God if you have a small view of Jesus. So today, for a few moments, I want to continue this series, How to Become a Great Person for a Great God. And I want to talk to you from the thought, a great confession about the great Savior. A great confession about the great Savior. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, wherever you are in the world, you can go to goodhope.org and find an outline there. Or you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline to use on your tablet or smartphone if you download our church app, the Good Hope app, wherever you get your apps. It's in Matthew chapter 16 and John chapter 6 that we find ourselves in this topical expositional message. In Matthew chapter 16 in particular, Jesus takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. The geographical location of this question is very important because Caesarea Philippi was a place filled with false gods, idols, and competing beliefs. And it's in that environment of a lot of spiritual confusion and chaos that Jesus asked two questions. Who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? And my brothers and sisters, here's what I want you to know. Before you can change your life, you must clearly confess and know who Jesus is. Four things I want you to see that I hope and pray will encourage you to answer that second question in the right way. Here's the first thing. Number one, you must move from public opinion to personal revelation. If you're going to give a great confession about the great Savior, you must move from public opinion to personal revelation. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 16, the ESV translation says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, verse 15, but who do you say that I am? Now, their responses to the first question, they were not haphazard or random. Jesus asked them a question and their responses are rooted in Jewish expectations, history, and some misunderstanding. They said, some people are saying John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Let's walk through these three real quick because I want you to understand what is behind the answer that they give. First, some people said John the Baptist because there was a fear that Jesus was the resurrected John who had been beheaded by Herod. Now, it's interesting because if they had done any homework, they would know that Jesus was alive when John was beheaded. But they, some of the people who were around, heard about John and the ministry of John, And the similarity between what John was preaching and what Jesus was preaching, namely, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And some people believed he was a resurrected John the Baptist. Some people said he's Elijah. Elijah, that forerunner of the Messiah, Elijah. In the Jewish faith, it was the belief that Elijah was going to return before the Messiah. And so they thought he was a precursor of that coming Messiah. They had not recognized that he was the Messiah. And according to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, Elijah was expected to return before the day of the Lord. Elijah was known for miracles, for power, and for confronting false worship, all things that embodied the ministry of Jesus. And so they thought Jesus was preparing the way, not that he was the way. Some said he's Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He was a man of great compassion, deep sorrow over sin. But Jeremiah experienced being rejected by his own people. But despite that rejection, he called the whole nation to repentance. And Jesus was known for his compassion. He was known for his grief over sin and for being rejected by the leaders. And so they said he's Jeremiah or one of the prophets. All of the answers were honorable. All of the answers were respectful. All of the answers were partially right. They were close but not correct. And here's what I need you to understand, because I want to make sure I get somebody who may be watching or somebody who stumbled in here on today. People often admire Jesus without submitting to him. They respect Jesus without recognizing him. They define Jesus based on their expectations instead of God's revelation. And so here's what Jesus does. He asks the question, and then he makes a shift. He makes a shift from crowd talk to personal truth. He says, now that's what everybody's saying about me, but what do you say? What do you think? And I might need to put according to meter and park there for a second, because somebody under the sound of my voice, it really doesn't matter what other people think about Jesus. The question is, what do you think? What is your opinion? See, it's like reading the reviews about a restaurant and recommending a restaurant that you've never eaten at. You say, yeah, you need to go there. They got good food. Oh, what you have? Well, I've never been there. Whoa. Throw the brakes on that. Don't recommend someplace you haven't been. And don't tell me to get something you haven't eaten, right? Because you can quote others, but that doesn't mean you know for yourself. You cannot build your life, brothers and sisters, on borrowed beliefs. You cannot live off of your grandmother's revelation. You cannot depend on your parents' faith. At some point, your faith must be personal, because faith can't be inherited. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you just underline the second person references in that verse, because you got to do it for yourself. Job 42, verse 5, let's read it together. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Job says, I've heard about you, God, but now I've seen you for myself. And there's somebody in here who can testify the shift that happened in your life when your relationship with God moved from hearing about God to now seeing God for yourself. Come on, somebody, you heard he was a healer. Oh, but now that you have discovered and saw for yourself, have I got a witness in here? You heard he would make a way, but now that you've seen it for yourself, see, when you move from public opinion to personal revelation, It takes your faith to the next level. Which leads me to the second thing. Number two, you must confess the true identity of Jesus. If you're going to give a great confession about a great Savior, you must confess the true identity of Jesus. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They heard what others said, but here is Peter now revealing his true identity, and he makes two powerful statements in this one sentence. He says, "You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the coming Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter recognizes not only his messianic role, but he recognizes his divine appointment. He says, "God, you are the Son of the living God. You are divinity wrapped up in humanity." Peter recognizes that Jesus, when he came, was the Son of God who became the Son of Man, that the sons and daughters of men could become the sons and daughters of God. He says, "You are the Christ." This is not a casual statement. This is a life-defining confession. And without even realizing it, Peter gives the key to everything that we need to be the people that God has called us to be. We've got to know he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I was trying to go into my back door, and I pulled out a key and stuck it in the lock, and it wouldn't open the door. And I realized that I had a key that looked like the right key, but it was the wrong key. And sometimes in life, we take what looks like the right key, and then we wonder why it cannot unlock certain things in our life. And I need somebody in here to understand that if you are going to unlock God's potential for your life, you got to know who Jesus is. He's not just a helper, he's a Savior. He's not just a teacher, he's Lord. He's not just the option, he is the only one. You must confess him correctly to follow him fully. Let me say that again. You've got to confess him correctly to follow him fully. John chapter 14, verse 5 and 6, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Go down to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and let's read it together. Acts 4, 12, let's read it together. "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other name. But here's what I need you to understand. You don't get to this place of confession simply by making an intellectual journey. Here's the third thing. Number three, you must receive revelation from God. If you want to make a great confession about the great Savior, you must receive revelation from God. Verse 17, Matthew chapter 16, "And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" Peter didn't figure it out. God revealed it to him. Spiritual truth is not discovered by human reasoning. You can't figure your way into a faith journey with God. It is revealed by divine intention and intervention. Somebody in here, here's part of the challenge, here's part of the problem with your walk with God. You are trying to have a faith walk and you're trying to follow an intellectual map. You can't walk with God by faith and think you're going to be able to figure your way out and through everything in life, because there's some things that are only going to be shown to you by God. I wish I had a witness in here somewhere. you can't figure your way to faith. Because until Jesus shows you, until God reveals it, you're not going to see it. You got to pray for spiritual insight. You got to stay in God's word. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because to be who God wants you to be, you need more than information. You need divine revelation. You need God to do some things and show you some things. Look at verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, but they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Somebody, you need to start praying for some God-given insight. You go through something in life, you're dealing with some stuff, and you may look at it and say, man, that don't make no sense to me. That's the craziest thing. I ain't never heard nothing so crazy in my life. And you just might need some divine insight so God can show you the reason behind the insanity you see. Because there is a spiritual reason for the journey that people are on. Look at John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. And when you truly know who Jesus is, it will affect how you respond when life gets hard. See, the truth of the matter is, for many of us, we don't know that a confession is good, but a confession must lead to a commitment. Let's go to the fourth and final thing. Number four, you must remain committed to Jesus about everything else, above everything else. A great confession about the great Savior. Number four, you must remain committed to Jesus above everything else. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. In John chapter 6, many disciples walked away. Now, you might ask the question, what made them walk away from Jesus? Because in verse 60 of John chapter 6, the scripture says that there were some hard sayings that Jesus put forth that people did not want to follow. And because of the hard sayings, the way was not as easy as they expected it to be, and so they decided to walk away. My brothers and sisters, here's what's interesting. The record does not show in any way, shape, form, or fashion Jesus chasing those that walked away. They walked and Jesus waved. Let me just throw that in parenthetically for somebody as we pass this point, that when folk decide they leaving, just let them go. Because here's what I've learned in life. When you talk somebody out of leaving who wants to leave, especially when they want to leave with a level of insanity that has caused you some anxiety in your life, and they leave with that insanity, here's what you need to understand. When you talk them back into coming, what you're saying is, all that craziness, I love it. So whatever insanity they had before they left, when you tell them to come back, what you're saying is, I want more of that. Jesus does not chase them. He turns and asks those who are left, are you committed or are you just curious? Now, here's what's interesting about this, y'all. We live in a day and time when churches are trying to make it easier to follow Jesus. Pastors are like the neighborhood corner store candy man, giving out a bunch of sugar with no substance. We focus on garnishment instead of nourishment. And we've got cotton candy theology and pep rally preaching and feel good messages. And the text says that Jesus has some hard sayings, watch this, that were not intended to make people feel good, but they were intended to help people to live right and to do good. No showtime on Sunday with Jesus. No pep rally preaching. Jesus said, here's what I expect of you. And some of them left. And Jesus said, you're going to leave also? You going too? Because here's what Jesus understood. There were some people who followed him for the benefits and the blessings. They didn't follow him because they believed. See, Jesus defines discipleship as a choice, not a crowd. And the crowd was shrinking, and their commitment was being tested. And here's the question. When Jesus makes the statement, he's trying to separate consumers from contributors. He's trying to move people to recognize, are you a fan or are you a follower? Are you an attender or are you committed to being part of the army? That's why, y'all, when we made the culture shift in 2023 and we began planning it in 21 and taught in preparation of it in 2022, and when we implemented it in 2023 and some folk came to me and said, yeah, but Pastor, there's some folk leaving. And I said, fare thee well. Fare thee well. One lady, she wrote me a letter about how she did not feel this discipleship journey was where God wanted us to be. And she could no longer be part of the church because of that. And I said, well, we certainly thank God for your presence here at the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And we're praying that God blesses you wherever the Lord is leading you to go. In Jesus' name. Pastor Cofield. Because there's always going to, when you raise the bar, y'all, when you raise the standard, when you make a decision to move from mediocrity to excellence, there's always going to be people leaving. If they were committed to excellence being their standard and not their goal, they wouldn't be living the way they're living right now. Because too many people are living far below where they could be and where they should be. And it's not the devil, it's not their mama, it ain't their daddy, it ain't their wife, it ain't their husband, it ain't none of that keeping them from being who God wants. It's their decision. Jesus says, what are y'all gonna do? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, where are we going? Where are we going? There's nobody else to go to. That's a statement of exclusivity. There is nobody else, Lord. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. That's a statement of authority. We have nobody else that can speak to our lives authoritatively. And he says, we have believed and have come to know. Don't miss this order. We have believed and have come to know. You've got to believe, but then you got to come to know in your journey with the Lord. You believe and then you come to know. And you come to know when you make a commitment to grow. That's a commitment of settled faith. And then he says, you are the Holy One of God. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me carefully. True discipleship is tested not when the teaching is easy. It's when the teaching gets hard. True discipleship happens when God calls you to a greater level of commitment If you could be a disciple doing nothing, then everybody could be a disciple of Jesus. No, you have to make a commitment. You have to make a commitment. And watch this. Anybody can follow when the miracles are flowing. Real disciples stay not for the miracles, but through the misery. See, the crowd left when the benefits stopped. They were there for the fishes and loaves. And when the food pantry closed, they were nowhere to be found. Because they were there for the convenience. They were there for the blessings. They weren't there for the commitment. And the cost of following Jesus was more than they were willing to pay. My brothers and my sisters, you need to learn how to stay with Jesus. And let me be honest with you. I think all of us have come to a place at least one time in our lives when we question our faith. At least one time when you said, man, I don't even know if I'm going to do this church thing, let alone this Jesus thing. And you might have done like Peter on the other side of the crucifixion of Jesus. You might have went back to fishing. Yeah, you went back to the club. But the liquor just didn't taste right. You went back to the streets, but the weed just didn't. You were thinking you got some bad weed. This weed ain't working like that. But you had to come back when you came in your right mind. Like that prodigal getting ready to eat the slop out of the hog pen. And the Bible says he came to himself. I said he came to himself. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, he recognized that he was in a bad place because of some bad decisions he made. But he had to turn around and go back. Watch what the text says. Peter says, to whom shall we go? Because there's nowhere to go. And nobody better to go to than the Lord. Hebrews 10:23, look at what the text says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He who promised. I'm not wavering to the left or to the right. Because he who promised is faithful. Have I got a witness here? Can anybody testify to the faithfulness of God? I'm so glad that he is faithful. Even when I'm not faithful, he is a faithful God. The world still has opinions about Jesus. But let me close by telling you, heaven is not asking for opinions. Heaven is asking for a confession and a commitment. And the question still stands today, who do you say Jesus is? But when you speak, understand you're not just speaking with your mouth. When you speak and you say, who is Jesus? You speak with your mouth and with your life. In other words, when somebody watches how you live, when somebody watches how you treat somebody else, when somebody sees how you act on the job, or when a child sees how you act in the home, you are speaking what you think about Jesus. Because when Jesus is confessed, he changes your identity. He transforms your life. He rearranges your destiny. And he gives you eternal purpose. Some say he's a prophet. Some say he's a great teacher. Some say he's a good man. But I want to tell you what I think about him. He's more than a teacher. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's more than a healer. He's holy, and he's holy all by himself. He's more than a prophet. He's the promised King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Son of the living God. And when you know him, you won't leave him, but you'll live for him. When you trust him, you'll follow him. When you confess him, he will change you. And when he changes you, he will use you. And when he uses you, you'll change those around you. Yes, yes. I don't know about you, but there's nobody like the Lord. I said there's nobody like the Lord. I climbed up to the highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find no one to compare. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than him. Have I got a witness here? Okay, some of y'all don't get the new school. Let me go back to the old school. Can nobody do me like Jesus? Can nobody do me like the Lord? He picked me up, turned me around. Have I got a witness here? Yes, yes. When the storm was raging, he was my shelter in a time of storm. When I was lost on my way to hell, he found me and brought me back. When I didn't know how I was gonna make it, he made a way out of no way. Okay, some of y'all still don't get it. Let me go back a little bit further. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus's blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy, 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 lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground. Yes! All of the ground is sinking sand. On Christ, that's who I'm standing on, y'all. Hey, anybody else gonna stand on him? Anybody else? When I look back over my life, he picked me up. Hey, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I'm trying to stop y'all. I promise you, I'm trying. Hey, 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 hey. See, when you think about how far God has brought you, nobody else knows where the Lord has brought you from. They look at you, they see the glory, they don't know the story. They see you standing in your right mind, they don't know how you almost lost your mind. Ooh, yes. But it was the Lord that found you. And it was the Lord that picked you up. And here's the wonderful thing about God. He found you. He picked you up. Turned you around. And brought you back to your right mind. And never told anybody where he found you. Yeah! Nobody greater than him. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where are we going, Lord, if we leave you? Where are we going? Father, we thank you today. I pray now, God, that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people. God, I pray that we would leave here today ready to say yes. For somebody who's never said yes before, to say yes. For somebody that said yes before, to say yes again, to recommit themselves. To say yes. God, we stand as your people, not because of what you give us, but because of who you've made us. Because without you, we are nothing, but with you, we become the best version of ourselves we can be. Nobody greater than you, Lord. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, clap your hands if you will. Come on, clap your hands if you will. Sing, Elder.
I climbed up to the highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around, down there couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your love, your words and mercy. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Somebody say nobody greater.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you.
Come on, sing it to the Lord today. Sing it. Nobody?
Nobody, nobody greater. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. Carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody, nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Everybody sing it. Nobody greater, nobody greater. And declare nobody greater,
nobody greater,
nobody greater,
nobody greater,
nobody greater,
nobody greater
than you. Search high and low, couldn't find nobody, nobody,
nobody greater,
nobody greater than you. You're King of Kings and you're Lord of Lords, nobody greater.
Your name is above all names. Your name is above all names.
Your name is above all names.
Worthy of all our praise.
Worthy of all our praise.
Mighty are the works of your hand.
Mighty are the works of your hand.
Mighty are the works of your hand. You have no clue of what we're talking about. We're here to witness to you, to let you know that there is not a name like the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, you can call a lot of names, but they just won't amount up to the name of Jesus. And what you're hearing all over this church and what you're feeling all over this church is a lot of people with the same confession that he's Lord, he's Savior, he's the only living God. You're hearing people in your section right now saying he walks with me. You're hearing people in your section right now saying he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. You're hearing people in your section say he saved me. The only name that can save, to the only name that's coming back. Maybe you have lived off of grandmama's testimony, and I've heard about Jesus. I think you've done some pretty good stuff, but I don't know him yet. I hadn't got a chance to walk with him. But those of us who have took that walk, we can say that our life is sweet and our joy is complete. Not because everything's all right, but because when things fall out the bottom, I know who I can go to. And so today, we want you to be a part of this family, be a part of this brand new life, it's good to have somebody to walk with you. When people leave you, when folks forsake you, when they talk about you, when mama and daddy close their eyes, it's good to have somebody to walk with you. Somebody you can talk to. Somebody you can be vulnerable with. Somebody you can tell your business, and your business ain't out in the streets. That's Jesus. He became one of us to save all of us. And if you're here and you're wondering and debating about people looking at you, please believe we look better dressed up today than we do in our soul sometimes. We had to take the same walk because we can't make it off of the church we go to, off of the relationship of our pastor with God. We've got to commit for ourselves to say, I know him as Savior. I know him as Lord. And if you don't know him, we want you to come. We want you to come. We want you to come. We need you to come. Heaven is waiting on you. Jesus is waiting on you. God is waiting on you. And the Holy Spirit wants to be born in you. Come on, church. Let's say your name is above every name. Come on. Your name is above all names.
Your name is above all.
The person next to you, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? Get an answer and tell him if you're not. Come on, let's celebrate our brother. And tell him if you're not, I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. Tell him, do you have a church home? Ask him, do you have a church home? Listen, we are a loving family. We're not a perfect family. We're a loving family. And listen, every day we're striving to be great people for a great God. And if you know he's great, come on, won't you celebrate the great God? Anybody know he's great? And he can do great things with your life. He can do great things with your story. He can do great things in your family. He can do great things on your job. He can do great things in your marriage. He can do great things in your children. He's a great God. Listen, we're waiting on you. We're going to do it again, but we're waiting on you. Don't delay. Don't debate with the devil. Come on down as we say, your name is above all names.
Your name is above all names.
Hallelujah. need some brothers to come and celebrate with them. Cover this man of God. We're not looking, we participate. We family, we do it together. We do life together. Not just him, this brother too. If you're here, listen, we're here for you. This is your moment. This is your time. God is waiting to do something beautiful in your life. We do life together, church. I said, we do life together, church. Great God, great people. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for being a great God. God, help us to be a great people. God, you continue to do great and wonderful things for us. Father, thank you for the word that was preached. Thank you for our man of God that you sent this way. And Father, thank you for the harvest because of your word. Father, we pray that as they continue and start their journey, you will be with them and you will allow us to walk with them in this season of growth and change and transformation. Let their testimony be, he's a great God. And I'm not perfect, but I'm yet becoming. It's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Come on, church, let's celebrate. Come on, let's celebrate. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate what God has done. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Help them, brothers. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's what church is for. That's what church is for. That's what church is for. Yeah, yeah. Brothers, those who have just joined, who've just walked down, if you would, take them with our persons so that we can get some more information from them. Church, have we not been blessed this day? Have we been blessed this day? Can y'all help me celebrate the greatest pastor in the world? Hold on, I said, can we celebrate the greatest pastor in the world? Our man of God, the Reverend Dr. D.Z. Cofield. God bless you. God keep you. Reverend Bill is coming at this time.
Praise God, church. Just praise God. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. His spirit has spoken to us today. God has visited us in a powerful, powerful way. We thank God for that word today. Amen. Amen. All right, church family. It's now time for the offering. You know, God is moving so powerful. That was all right. Okay.